Hello again, and welcome to Carved from the Rock Ministries with Tim
and Joy.
Thank you again for joining us
and
this evening. And once again, we're going to continue to our push through Romans and see what where God leads us. But first of all, Joy is going to open us up with prayer, and then we'll get going through the Word of God. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, so before I do the opening prayer, I was going to tell you we are going to do an email and a mailing so you guys can contact us and tell us maybe things you want to hear more about. We are here for you. We love you. I think that's, like I said before, I remember feeling like that was so strange when people would say that to me and they did not even know me. But when you really learn about Jesus, you realize people do really genuinely care about you and love you and want the very best for you. But it comes down to you and your walk with God. You're going to have to do the walk and you're going to have to do the reading and learning about him. Nobody can do it for you, but we're here for you. So I'll start in prayer. God, we thank you so much. You are a good God. We love you. We lift up your holy name. We just ask that you remove the scales from our eyes, Lord God, that we can see what it is you would have us to see. Lord, forgive us of our sins that we can come to you boldly and let our requests be made known to you, Lord. We thank you. We love you. We lift up your holy name. You are a good God. We ask that you bless our families, our friends, our loved ones. And God, as we enter into the holidays, Lord God, that you ease the pain of people that have lost family or just hurting. It's a time of year that people hurt more. And we just ask that you pour out an extra special blessing to our listeners and to us. And we just love you, Lord. You are a very good God. Thank you so much for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that opening prayer. And thank you for joining us again, Carved from the Rock Ministries.
Thank you.
We're going to start out. We went most of the way through Romans chapter 8, but we didn't quite make it to the very toward the end. Romans 8:31. We're going to start with that. And then we're going to kind of skip around a little bit through Romans, just hit on some verses and talk about them. Joy, do you want to?
I'll let you read.
Okay.
I'm in the mood to not read.
Hey, that's fine. So I will read. So Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?"
Amen.
And I'm going to stop right there because I use that a lot in my daily walk with God, with Jesus. I say that in a lot of situations in my day. If God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is nobody.
Yeah.
The answer is nobody. Nothing can be against you when God is for you. And in my reference, my footnotes here, it says the words "these things" refer to God's purpose. If God has done everything from foreknowledge to glorification for us, all adversaries are powerless.
Amen.
Adversaries are powerless. And it goes back to saying, who can be against us? Nobody can, because God is for us. He is for you, all of you out there.
So I like you did the different little special footnote or whatever. My actual footnote, it says 31, God for us, who can be against us? That's it. Because I just basically repeated the, you know, the I didn't do anything extra or
the
add.
Scripture.
Yeah, because it's so true. It's so powerful. If he is fighting for you, nobody will win.
Anything that comes against you is not gonna come to fruition because God is for you. And it's just amazing how his power and how we get to know God and the power of God is being in the Word and studying the Word and getting to know Scripture. And we're gonna skip ahead. I want to skip ahead to Romans 10 verse 8 and start reading from there, because here's another section of Scripture that's so important to know and understand. And as we go through this, you'll hear Romans 10:9 is one of the most important verses that a new either Christian or a non-believer needs to hear.
Yeah.
So starting out, Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 8.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
That's Romans 10:9.
That's Romans 10:9. So it's all there in a nutshell. People think they've got to do hoops and all of these things. And that is it right there. The one thing.
That's it.
Well, maybe two.
That's salvation.
Believe and confess with your mouth.
Right. That's salvation in a nutshell. That's what you've got to do.
Let me keep reading.
Go ahead. Reread that. Start.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's it right there. Yes. I have all that underlined in red ink, because that right there, those few verses right there are so important for somebody's salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever confesses with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved.
Yes.
That's all you've got to do. It's God's free gift to us, salvation, that we believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins, and after 3 days he rose again, he was resurrected. So he defeated sin on the cross, he defeated death in the grave, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father next to God, and he is our Lord and Savior. He is your Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And you believe that, you've got salvation.
And I'm going to back up to 10:4, where it says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So you'll find people these days, in this time, if you get into the church or get into any kind of, following Jesus, you will see that people a lot of times try to go by the law. They try to do this. They try to do that. And it's all for nothing, really, because Jesus says right there in 10:4, or the Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So again, he didn't come to destroy the law. He actually came and fulfilled it.
Mm-hmm.
He is the finishing product of the law. We couldn't go by all the laws. They are good for us. They help us, but they're not the answer. Jesus is the answer.
That's it. Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. He fulfilled the law, so we don't have to try and keep all the laws. That we just believe in him and receive him as our Lord and Savior.
So I've got a note here. It says that people try to go back under the law, like Christians now, you'll find, and even since, when Jesus came, people, they try to go back under the law. The law is holy and just and God, but Jesus is grace and greater. That's really the bottom line with that. So it's not to dismiss the law. It's not to, throw it away. Jesus came to fulfill it, because nobody can keep all of those laws. He loves us.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be for me, when I came in to really knowing God, I guess for me that would be the one thing I would like anybody to take away, is that he has such a great compassion for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I've said in a past podcast, I thought he was just this big giant God waiting to get me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a loving, compassionate God, just waiting to put his arms around us, love us, help us, nurture us, walk with us through this life and through our hard times. And we just have to get to that place where we believe it, understand it, receive it.
That's right. Yeah. So that's where our faith comes in. We put our faith in him and our trust in him. And the word of God, the scripture, will open up. And he'll show us the way through his word, through his scripture. Show us the path he wants us to go on and what direction he wants us to go through that. And I'd like to jump ahead to Romans 12:1-2. And I want to read the little note that I wrote at the bottom of verse 2. Okay. It says, the beginning of my walk. So the beginning of my walk. So if you take that right there, the beginning of my walk, mm-hmm. and then read Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then you understand why that's the beginning of my walk. So 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. That's verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. The beginning of my walk. So there's so many little things I underline. So your reasonable service is to do God's will that glorifies him. Yes. Wherever you go and whatever you do, glorify God. And then to be conformed to this world is your old self. That's who we used to be. We used to conform to the world and want to be like, we wanted to fit in. We wanted to fit into the world. Wherever we were at your job or when you went to college or whatever you're doing, you wanted to fit in. You wanted to be part of the in crowd. Mm-hmm. But when you become a Christian, you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're different. And it goes on to say that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Well, the perfect will of God is that you accept him as your Lord and Savior.
And you may not fit in, and you're not going to fit in, and just be happy with that. So mm-hmm. many people say, oh, I want to be different, and they'll, you know, do different things to themselves physically, and they end up looking like a, you know, a group of other people in our society already. Like they say in their mind, you know, I want to be different, but they really aren't. It's almost like that space in our heart that I said before, nothing can fill it but God. Mm-hmm. And it's like people want to change who they are to be different, but you know what? Once you accept Jesus, you are different. Mm-hmm. And though the world may hate you, Jesus loves you. You are a child of the highest King.
Yeah. And what I like about in the notes here, it says, when you're changed by the renewal of your mind, that means it starts in your mind and your heart. Mm-hmm. So you change who you are and what you do. So the old things that you used to do, you realize, okay, the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
There's more of a fine line that you realize, oh, well, these things, I thought I was being a good person, but I can actually change it even more.
Yeah.
To be in the will of God versus just being a good person. I can be actually in the will of God.
And you end up happier. You really mm-hmm. do. I think you people do. Think they meet a lot of miserable Christians and they are very unhappy or, you know, mean, or like our grandkids call us the grumps. We're ready to go to sleep, and you know, we're just not that young anymore compared to, you know, in your 20s and 30s. But a lot of times Christians overall, well, I've heard people say, you know, that'll be who's, you know, pointing at you and cussing you out at the stoplight at trying to get out of church.
You know,
you don't want to be that Christian. I think that gives the world a view of what they think Christianity is or following Jesus. And it's not, you really do have a joy and a peace.
Well, it goes back to fitting in. It's not that you're not going to fit in the world. You're not really going to fit in anywhere, because what it is, it's the relationship between you and you alone and Jesus and God. So it's a one-on-one. So the way I look at it is like a straight line going straight up in the air between me and God.
Yes.
So it's not parallel. It's not going out to the left or right. It's going straight up and down between me and God.
Be happy with not fitting in.
Right.
I mean, or learn to be happy, and you will get happy with it. And you will be happier overall, not trying to please everybody at church or in this place or that place. But when it's you and God and your relationship, you get a peace and a joy with that, and a fitting in with that, and you don't worry about the rest of the world.
And it's funny, because the next verse I was going to talk about is Romans 12:9, and the heading on that says,
well, wait, you skipped 3. So I like 3, because it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone whom is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So I've had my mom tell me in the past, you know, I just don't have the faith, or I you know, like she almost thinks something's wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
But always remember, we have all been dealt a measure of faith. So when you think, well, my faith doesn't, you know, match up to somebody else's or this or that, start growing your faith. Start, you know, working on that and progressing with that. You'll see, because it even says your faith is like the mustard seed, which is the tiniest little seed in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never seen a mustard seed, Google it or get some at the in the spice section, and then look at how the tree can be. It can turn out to be just this huge giant tree. Your faith can do the same thing. You nurture it, feed it, follow Jesus, pursue him, your faith will grow. But I highlighted that and wanted to talk about it because I did highlight not to think so highly of yourself. You got to laugh at yourself. Obviously, God has a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. We deal with people every day, right? At some point.
Right.
God's
right.
got a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Lighten up. Know that he loves you.
Right.
Yeah, you can go. You were skipping on ahead.
Well, no. I was going to say, to add to what you were just saying, too, is that into to get to know God in that relationship, you've got to be in the Word. You got to study the Word of God. And I always go back to, you know, listen to the Bible while you're driving your car, or if you're riding, you know, public transportation, you're on the bus or in a taxi or wherever you're at, or you're mm-hmm. walking down the street, have the Bible playing on your phone
yeah.
and listen to it. You can get the Word of God anywhere, anytime.
In this society, you really can.
Yeah,
it's a blessing. So people say the internet can be a blessing or a curse, but truly,
make it a blessing.
Make it a blessing. Amen.
That's your choice.
Jesus, you've probably got 60 different versions of the Bible. I would stick with, you know, some that are good and safe for you, not things that are off the wall. But there's so many good resources to follow Jesus. Like even this, the podcast. You know, give God your time. Don't give all of your time to this world. And you're going to see a change in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have no doubt. I've been praying for our listeners, too, for God to show you a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You see a difference. You feel a difference. You know that God is doing things on your behalf. And I believe that with you. Yeah. We believe that with you.
Mm-hmm.
But were you going to go on ahead, or are you going to?
I was real quickly. I was going to go ahead because I was going to go back to what you were saying about when you have that peace and that love for others, it changes who you are and how you act, and other people actually see the difference in you,
yeah.
and people notice. And like at work, you know, people, you know, we'll talk about, you know, being a Christian.
The preacher person or the preacher man or whatever. Yeah, you right. are different.
But yeah, they notice the difference. Well, Romans 12:9 says, the heading says, behave like a Christian. And verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good.
Amen.
Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation.
Now you lost me.
Okay, I'll stop right there.
No, I'm just saying, because that rejoicing in hope, patience, and tribulation, none of us want to do that.
Right. Well, the main part of that verse was going back to it, cling what is good, and being kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and without being a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And we all fall short, and we might judge others or say something.
I think a lot of the world uses that word hypocrite to describe Christians, to, you know, kind of cut them off at the knees, like you're a hypocrite. Just you change. You're still changing. You're working on your life with Christ. You're going to make mistakes. You're not a hypocrite. You're doing your very best.
We're just not perfect.
That's right. And it's not that the church is full of hypocrites. They are very, very...
You're ever changing.
Faulting. What's a good word?
You're changing from being who you were used to be to who you want to be. You want to be better.
Yeah.
And it's a process, and it takes time. But we are speaking of time, we are out of time.
Yes, we are out of time.
And we love you. Thank you for joining Carved from the Rock Ministries.
We love you. God bless you. We will have email tomorrow available for you, I do believe. We love you so much. We ask that God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Yes. We love you so much. And we ask God to bless you tomorrow and the rest of this week in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen to that. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. We love y'all.
Love you, Lord.
Thank you for joining Carved from the Rock Ministries.